He was a leader of justice, mercy and piety, reviver of the Sunnah. He was a leader of justice, mercy and piety, reviver of the Sunnah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our series, The Blessed Life of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, on a regular basis, we see that people, after they've passed away, they're forgotten and they're not remembered anymore. Some people, this happens to them after a day or two after they passed away, or a day or two after they're buried. People who used to live with them, who used to know them, who used to spend time with them, now have forgotten them. They don't remember them. They don't think about them anymore. Some people maybe for a month or 2 months or a year, they remember, people remember them, still think about them. But after that, they're forgotten. Some people maybe a generation or two generations, for that period of time, they are remembered. Then after that, they are forgotten. No one remembers them. Some people maybe 100, 120, 150 years, they are remembered. But after that, nobody remembers them. Nobody knows who they were. Nobody knows what job they did, how they lived, what their character was like, what their attributes were, how they behaved. Nothing about them. Nobody remembers anything about them. Some people wouldn't even remember their names as well. But, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is only for normal people, for people who didn't achieve much in their life, for the average person. There are some blessed personalities who achieve so much in their life, who leave such a legacy behind that not only 100 or 200 years later, centuries upon centuries later, they are still remembered. People still think about them. People still look up to them. People still know them. People still learn about them. People still want to be like them. And one such personality is Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. That is why throughout this series, we are talking about the blessed characteristics and blessed attributes of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, and trying to take lessons from his blessed life so that we can follow in his blessed footsteps and try to achieve some of the success that he had, to try and follow in the legacy that he left behind. And my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is mentioned that the leader of the Hanbali school of thought, the founder of the Hanbali school of thought, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, he said regarding Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, that when you see it, that a person has devotion, has love towards Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, and he arranges the mention of his attributes and spreads them, then this will result in only goodness for him. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, in this series we are talking about the attributes of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh and spreading them with this intention and hope that it will result in goodness for every single one of us. May Allah Almighty allow us to truly follow in the footsteps of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. My dear viewers, in today's episode we are going to be talking about the passion which Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh had calling people towards righteousness. And we're going to try and take lessons from his blessed life and try to develop a passion within ourselves to follow in this blessed trait as well. It's mentioned after Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, he left the governorship of Madinatul Munawwara. Now, there's a difference of opinion in the different narrations are mentioned regarding how he left the governorship of Madinatul Munawwara. Some mentioned that he resigned and some mentioned that he was forced out, that he was forced to leave. Nevertheless, when he left the governorship of Madinatul Munawwara, he reached an area called Suwaida and he stayed there for a short while. But then he thought about it, for the goodness of the Muslims, for the welfare of the Muslims, that he shouldn't stay here anymore, and he should move to Damascus, where the caliph of the time resided. So that if he was closer to the caliph of the time in terms of location, he could advise the caliph of the time on the decisions that he made, and made sure that they were for the betterment of the Muslims. So then he moved from Suwayda to Damascus, and he lived in the neighborhood of the caliph of that time, Walid bin Abdul Malik. So now when he was here, and he was here for this intention that he could stop him from cruelty. He was here so that he could stop him from making bad decisions. And then, my dear viewers, a time came when he was appointed as one of the members of the executive advisory board of the caliph of that time in Damascus. And now when he was part of this committee, whenever he would see something wrong, or he would think something is wrong and he didn't agree with it, he would always speak out. He would always tell the caliph or his advisors that this thing which you are doing is cruel, or this thing is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this. And let's listen to one incident like this. It's mentioned in one instance, he said to the caliph, Walid bin Abdul Malik, that I want to speak to you, so when you have time, tell me and I will speak to you. And the caliph said to him straight away that, go on, you can speak now. But Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said, no, I want you to listen attentively to what I have to say. I want you to pay attention. I want you to listen with satisfaction and concentration. So when you are free, then tell me. Then sometime later, the caliph, Walid bin Abdul Malik, he came and said, O Abu Hafs, ask me what, or tell me, what did you want to tell me? And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said, after idolatry, the biggest sin in the sight of Allah Almighty is killing someone unjustly. Your governors and your chiefs who you have appointed, they kill people after they accuse them with false allegations. Now you have appointed them. So he's telling the caliph of the time. Just imagine it. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is talking this way to the caliph of the time. He's advising the caliph of the time that cruelty is one of the worst sins that you can perform. It is the biggest sin in the sight of Allah Almighty after idolatry, after worshipping idols, after committing shirk. This sin is the biggest in the sight of Allah Almighty. And the governors who you have appointed, they are doing this. So you need to write them a letter and tell them to stop. So he said, write to all your governors that no governor is allowed to kill anyone until they send you, either caliph, Sharia evidence, and you decide whether death is deserving or not. Either they deserve death or not. You have to make that decision. And you can imagine it. He was the king. He was the leader. And he's being advised by Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in this manner, in front of all the people. He became angry. But because it was Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he didn't say anything. He tried to control his anger. And he said, okay. And he sent the letter out. He was embarrassed, but he didn't say anything. And all he said was, may Allah grant you blessings. And he sent this letter out to all his governors. And except for one, none of them said anything. They didn't think of it as bad. But one, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he did not like it at all. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was an individual who did kill people unjustly. So he thought that this letter was only sent to him, and he was being targeted because of his action. So he became restless. And he kept thinking that, why has this letter been sent to me? Why has it been sent to me? But then after a while, he realized everybody's been sent the letter. So he calmed down a little bit, but he was still angry. And he was still thinking, why has this letter come to us all anyway? Remember, this was an individual who did these things. He was a governor who would kill people unjustly. He wouldn't find a valid reason to kill them. He would just kill them. So now he said, who's put this idea forward? Somebody must have given the caliph this idea. And he was told, it was Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And when he heard this, he thought, oh, it has to happen now. Nobody could go against it. If it's suggested by Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, nobody can turn it down. But he decided at this point, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the governor, he decided that, I'm going to play a trick on them. He wanted to kill somebody, but now he needed to get the caliph to agree that, yes, this person deserves death. He couldn't just do it anymore the way he wanted. So he found an individual who is extremely rude, who is extremely ill-tempered, who is from the Kharijis. And then Hajjaj asked him, what do you think about Sayyidina Muawiyah bin Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu? And this individual, he spoke ill of him. Then Hajjaj asked his opinion about Yazid, and again he cursed him. Then Hajjaj asked about Abdul Malik, and this individual said he was cruel. And then he asked about the present Caliph, Walid, and he said, he is the cruelest of all, because despite knowing you, he has placed you as a governor on us. And then listening to this, Hajjaj, he didn't say anything, but internally, you know, he became happy that I'm going to send this person to the Caliph, and look at how he's insulting him. Because of this, the Caliph will say, yes, he deserves to be killed, and another person will be killed. He was just bloodthirsty. So then he sent this person with one of his guards and a letter to the Caliph. And in the letter, this Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he writes, I am very much cautious about my religion. I guard my people too much, and you have made me governor. I keep myself away from killing any such person who does not deserve this person. You listen to this individual and you decide, does this person deserve to be killed? I used to kill people with such evil thoughts. Now you decide, was I right or was I wrong? This Khariji arrived in the court of Walid, the Caliph, the leader. And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was present there as well. And Walid, the Caliph, he asked the Khariji, what opinion do you have about me, the leader? And he said, you are cruel and brutal. Then he asked about his father, the previous Caliph, what is your opinion about Abdul Malik? And he said, avenger and stubborn. Then he asked, what about Sayyidina Muawiyah? What do you say about him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu? In response to this question again, the Khariji said, cruel. And then Walid, the Caliph, he ordered his executioner without any further inquiry, that kill him, go kill him. And this happened. And after this killing, Walid then left the place and he asked the servant that called Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi to me. And Walid said, oh Abu Hafs, what do you think of what I did? Is it justified? Is it right or wrong? Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, look, again, his passion for advising, his passion for calling people towards right and forbidding evil. He said, you did not carry out anything good by killing him. You should have put him behind the bars. Thereafter, either he would have sought forgiveness in the court of Allah Almighty, or death would have approached him. And then at this point, Walid, he flew into a rage. Now, he's just killed somebody who has insulted him, the previous Caliph, and the companion of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, he abused me, he abused my father, and he is a Khariji. Still, you do not think I did the right thing by killing him. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, I do not regard it as permissible act. You could have imprisoned him. You could have forgiven him. And that would have been better. Listening to this, Walid got up and went away. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, the lesson we learned from this incident of the life of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that he had this great passion for calling people towards righteousness. He had a great passion from stopping people from committing evil deeds. And my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we see he was in a difficult situation. He was in a situation where he was advising the leader, the king, the caliph. This caliph didn't really want to listen to Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Look, in a situation where the caliph has just killed somebody, the caliph is angry, the caliph has just been insulted. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he advised the caliph initially in front of everyone that your governors are killing people, your governors are oppressing people. You appointed them, so you sent them a letter, he said initially. You tell them off. He did this in front of people. He could have been killed. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi could have been killed for calling people towards righteousness. But it was his passion. He knew it was his duty that he had this condition on him, that he had this, that he has to tell. He has to call people towards righteousness. He can't stop doing this. Otherwise, the caliph and the governors would have continued to commit evil. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, something else we learn. And we see in other incidents as well. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was never afraid to speak the truth. If he thought something was right, he would say it. In this situation, he could have easily said, yes, Caliph, you are right. And he might have even got a reward for doing so. But when he knew he was wrong, he spoke up. He told people to, he told the Caliph especially, to do good. And he stopped him from evil. And in another place, again highlighting this, his passion for calling towards righteousness and not being scared and always speaking the truth. It's mentioned that one day, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he narrates this. He says, unusually one day, this happened one day, that the Caliph, Walid bin Abdul Malik, he called me to him in the afternoon. And he was in his private chamber and he was looking angry. And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, telling us that the Caliph made him sit in front of him the way that criminals are made to sit in front of him. And at this point, there was only three people in the room. The Caliph, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and the executioner of the Caliph. And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he mentions he could see the Caliph's executioner in the room with his sword in his hand as if he is ready to kill him. He is ready and has already been commanded to execute him. And at this point, the Caliph, he shouts, he roars, as Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that what is your opinion about somebody who speaks ill about the Caliphs? What is your opinion about somebody who speaks ill about the Caliphs? And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, at this point, I stayed silent. I didn't say anything. Again, the same question was asked. Again, he says, I stayed silent. Remember the situation that he's in. It's just him and the Caliph. He's being treated like a criminal right now. And the executioner is holding the sword as if he has already been given the command to kill, to execute. Even now, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is not going against what he thinks is right. He thinks it's not right to kill anybody who insults the Caliphs. He thinks that there should be more before they are killed. This is not enough for an individual to be deserving of being killed. But he doesn't say it yet. And then on the third time of being asked, he says that such a person can be punished. And that is my opinion. But here, remember, look at the wording. He doesn't say, yes, he can be killed. He just says that person can be punished. He doesn't mean killed. And at this point, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says he saw the Caliph indicate towards the executioner in a manner that meant that kill him, you can execute him now. But it didn't happen. And even then, they would still do this blessed act of calling people towards good and forbidding evil. In this situation, it appeared to Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that if he doesn't give the answer the Caliph wants, that he will be killed. But look, even in that situation, he was prepared to be killed in order to call somebody towards good, to prevent evil. That even in that situation, he still said that thing which is right, and he prevented the Caliph from doing wrong. He prevented the Caliph from killing somebody who shouldn't be killed. I.e. an individual in this example who insulted the Caliph, he should be punished in a different way, not killed. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, taking lesson from the life of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, let's make this intention that we too will develop this habit of inviting towards good, calling people towards righteousness, and forbidding people from evil as well. Now, what is the reward of calling somebody towards good? What is the reward of inviting somebody towards good and preventing evil? It's mentioned that Sayyidina Musa, once somebody asked Allah Almighty, O Allah, what is the reward of the one who calls his brother and asks him to do a virtuous deed and he prevents him from evil? Allah Almighty says, I write down a reward for a year worship for each word and I stop giving him the torment of hell. For each word, a year's worth of worship is written for that individual, my dear viewers of Madani channel, who invites somebody towards goodness. My dear viewers, this act of inviting somebody towards goodness, it's a win-win. You can't lose with this act. If you try to prevent somebody from doing evil, you can't lose. It's a win-win. Look, For every word that you speak, you gain the reward of 1 year's worth of worship. For every word you speak, for every single word, not for every sentence, not for every time you do it, for every word you speak whilst you are inviting somebody towards goodness, or you are preventing them from evil, a year's worth of worship is written for you. What else could we want, my dear viewers? And look, this reward is regardless of whether or not that individual accepts your invitation. And regardless of whether that individual listens to you or not, just you merely telling him is a means of reward. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, just imagine that individual does listen. You invite somebody towards good. You invite somebody to do a good action or to stay away from something evil. Not only do you get the reward of inviting him, but imagine that individual actually listens and follows through with what you have said. Look at the multiple, or how the reward can be multiplied and the great rewards that you can gain. Now, I want to mention one incident. It's mentioned, this individual talks about himself. And this individual is from an area in Multan in Pakistan. And he says, before I was in the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, before I was in the beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami, I used to be an individual who was famous in my local area. And I was famous for the wrong reasons. I would always cause trouble for people. I would always cause harm to people. And I was always in trouble with the police every couple of days. I was always in prison every couple of days. And people, they used to stay away from me. They used to stay away from my family. And my family members and friends were extremely sick and disappointed and fed up with my activities. That they didn't like me anymore. They were fed up with me. Then a time came that I became the opposite. At one point, I was famous for being bad, for being evil, for causing mischief. Nobody wanted to be with me. Nobody respected me or liked me. But then a time came where I was famous for the good reasons. Everybody looked up to me. Everybody would tell their children about me and want their children to be like me. I would call people towards good and stop them from doing evil. People who used to behave like I used to behave. I know. And tell them this is wrong, you shouldn't do this. You should stay away from this, you should do this instead. And this change happened because of the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. He says that one day, an individual, he came and he gave me a cassette with the speech, The First Night in the Grave. So the speech was labeled The First Night in the Grave. And I listened to this speech, I listened to this cassette, and this cassette, it gave me goosebumps. It scared me so much, the description of the grave. It scared me so much that I started thinking, what am I doing with my life? What actions am I doing? That I cause so much harm and mischief in society that people are fed up with me. People don't like me. I cause harm to them. They hate my family because of me. The police doesn't like me. Nobody in society likes me. And this is the grave for the actions I'm doing. Look at the punishment that I'm going to get. He says, after this, I did tawbah, I repented. I stopped doing those sins. I started traveling in the Madani kafilas of Dawat-e-Islami. I started attending the weekly gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami. I even had the fortune of meeting the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Maulana Ilyas Qadri Hafizahullah. And I started being involved with this beautiful environment. I started making new friends who would invite me towards good, who would tell me to do good, who would prevent me from doing evil. And now I am that person who not only does society think good of me, not only do my family members think good of me and are proud of me, people are telling their children that go where he went so you can become like him as well. Where people before were telling people or telling their children, stay away from him, don't be like him. Now they are telling them, go with him and be like him. And all of this is what? Because of a few words of an individual who called him towards righteousness, who told him to do something good, who gave him a cassette. Look, the reward that individual who called him towards good will be getting. Firstly, every sentence that he spoke, every action that he did, well, he would be getting a reward for every word that he spoke. He would get a year's worth of worship. And then, just think about the reward, how it will multiply. He stopped an individual from committing sin. Individual who was hated by society now stops harming society and those in that society. Now the society will be happy that who is the individual who told this person to stop his evil ways? They will be doing dua for that person. The family members of the individual who has changed will be doing dua for him. That who is this individual who came and gave him this invite to this environment to stop doing evil and start doing good? Who has changed his life? They will be doing dua for him. The individual, now every good deed that he does, the individual who called him will be getting reward. Look at the multiple of reward, my dear brothers, my dear viewers of Madani channel. And now whoever he calls to do good as well, he has hoped the individual who gave the initial call, who initially invited this person, will also get the reward. Because if it wasn't for him, this individual won't be doing the good that he is doing now. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, we should all make a habit when we have the chance to invite somebody towards good and stop somebody from evil, we should take it, and we have to take it. In most cases, my dear viewers, this invite towards good, this calling towards good and forbidding evil is mustahab. It's good if you do it, and if you don't, there's no sin. But in some situations, it actually becomes wajib. The scholars mentioned it will actually become wajib when you have this strong probability that you think that this individual, if I tell him, he will actually stop doing this evil act. So if there's somebody who you know drinks alcohol, and you know you have this strong assumption that if I tell him, he will stop, scholars mention it's actually wajib for you to tell him, because you know that he will listen to you. So why are you not telling him? So my dear viewers on Madani channel, let's make this intention. If it is ever wajib on us to stop somebody from doing evil or call towards somebody towards good, that we will do it. Even if it is mustahab, looking at the rewards that an individual will get, let's make this intention that we will invite towards good and prevent from evil as well. We will follow in the footsteps of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Even if it is not easy, even if we think it is difficult, keeping in mind the blessings and the rewards for calling towards righteousness from preventing evil, we will follow in the footsteps of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
He was a leader of justice, mercy and piety, reviver of the sunnah. He was a leader of justice, mercy and piety, reviver of the sunnah.